I have with me this afternoon soprano Emily Richter. She is a member of the Resident Artist Program with Pittsburgh Opera, and she is a 2024 Grand Finals winner of the Metropolitan Opera Eric and Dominique Lafont competition. She has had a fabulous weekend, and she's taken a little bit of time to just talk to us and explain your experience with this amazing opportunity and fabulous fact that you are one of the five winners. Emily, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor.
It is so much fun to think about the fact that you've been here. We've had an opportunity to hear you sing with the Pittsburgh Opera. I think one of my favorite performances of you is with the sort of smoking, drunken barmaid in Rossini's Barber of Seville. Such a wonderful take on that role, and you just made it yours.
Oh, it was so fun. We inspired it off of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, off of Marta and that. So it was really, really fun.
Yeah, now I figured out the hair. Yes, yeah, absolutely. Exactly. A little bit of Liz Taylor there going on.
Absolutely.
So, Emily, what made you decide to become a soprano, a singer?
Oh, it's a great question. I mean, I think the through line in my life has been music, and I think what form that was going to take has changed. But I did piano from a young age, lots of choir. And I lived in London for high school. It's part of my background. And I was involved with the National Youth Choir of Great Britain and the London Youth Choir. And I got these amazing, larger-than-life musical experiences. I got to sing at the proms and, you know, was part of the Royal Philharmonic Chorus. And I just got to really witness what this music can do. And I was really inspired by it. And so at that point, I really committed to classical voice is my major. And I had been interested in music, but I didn't know if it was going to be education or piano or what. So then once I made that decision, that's when sort of the passion started to really grow. And that's when I realized that studying classical voice means doing operas. And I loved theater and I love languages. And so that just really started to feed a passion for opera that made so much sense, but I didn't even know I had. So it's really exciting.
Where did you go to school for? Did you major in voice?
Yes, thank you. I went to Lawrence University's Conservatory of Music, and I was a vocal performance major there. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I went to McGill's Schulich School of Music, where I got my master's in voice and opera.
Oh, my goodness. And now you actually have a Carnegie Mellon University tie with Jen Elmer that you study with.
Yes, I absolutely love her. I feel like the work we've done together has been nothing short of amazing. So I'm her biggest fan.
Well, we are so lucky. You're in the sort of I guess it's nearing its end of your second year with the residency here at Pittsburgh Opera. Talk a little bit about that, because this is such an amazing program for singers.
It really is. I mean, the level of experience that you get at the age and level that I'm at in my career, I just don't know where anywhere else that you can do that. We're doing two main stage shows a year, in addition to the main stage shows where we're doing covering and small roles. I got to sing Countess in a student matinee at 10 a.m. to thousands of children. But also I'm getting to do the full process as a principal artist at a really established company with music staff that can, you know, if you've sung these roles for this music staff, you know that you've gotten the stamp that you need to sing it anywhere. And the confidence that that builds and the sort of certainty in yourself as an artist, I don't know if other young artist programs are offering that at this level, because you're always on the sidelines. You're always hoping to get to try out all these skills that you've been training. But here, you're cutting your teeth, and it's just so important and has really made me switch from being a student to an artist. And I don't know if I could have done that anywhere else.
I agree. And this beginning of this year has been rather incredible, because you had the Iphigenie en Tauride with performances in January, and then you had Proving Up, both of which were lead roles, and very different kind of singing for each of these pieces.
Oh, absolutely. It's been a total marathon since the start of the new year. And also because I've also been covering Violetta. So working on all three roles back to back, I mean, the preparation for that starts so early. The shows are actually completely back to back, because we would close Sunday and then start the next process on Monday. And again, that just teaches you so much that no classroom can teach you, is how to sort of find the reserves in yourself.
To pace yourself.
To pace yourself, and also to like find emotional depths that you don't know you have. You only know that when you're in the process, and you're in a process that is exciting and I feel supported, but is also challenging. That's, I think, what really Pittsburgh offers.
What is kind of amazing is the journey for you, beginning with the district auditions. The Metropolitan Opera has a district audition, then they have a regional audition, the semifinals, and then the finals. The semis and the finals, of course, taking place in New York, but as a regional singer, you sang here, excuse me, as a district singer, you started with your audition here in Pittsburgh, I think early December.
Yes, yep, that's right. And, it was really... It just worked out that the best dates for me to attend were in Pittsburgh, but also how amazing. Marianne Cornetti runs the district and region, and, so many of the volunteers that support the district and region also support Pittsburgh Opera. So I felt like I had this team of support. Obviously, they're not the judges, but it was such a community event for me. That was just really, really lovely. And then I did the regionals on the morning of opening night of Iphigenie. So that was one of those days where you just feel like you're flying. It was amazing.
That is amazing. And it worked out so well for you because the regionals happen to be in Pittsburgh. They can be in Detroit. They can be anywhere.
Yeah, it was a total coincidence. And it was one of like the few ways that it worked out for me to even do the competition was because it was here. And there was just something so serendipitous about it. And truly, that was such a special day. My family came here. I got to do this role, Iphigenie, that means so much to me. And I also, that was the day I found out I moved on to the semis, which has been a dream of mine for such a long time. So the fact that it happened in Pittsburgh just made it even more special because I had all this community and friendship around me.
And actually, I forgot to mention that back in October, you were one of the winners of the Mildred Miller International Voice Competition.
Yes. Yeah, it's been a big year, have to say. It's been crazy.
It has. So fun that you win the regionals. You found out that day that you had advanced to the semis?
Yes. So in the competition, everybody sings all morning. The judges take an hour. They announce. I got my feedback and I went to the show for Iphigenie. I mean, it's just crazy. It's a whirlwind.
Oh my gosh, it was. And then talk to us about the whole process once you get to New York City and there's the semifinals. How many semifinalists were there?
There were 19 semifinalists.
Wow.
And it was such an amazing weekend because then you're at the Met and you're just sort of embraced as sort of the national chapter of mm-hmm. this competition. So they treated us so well. We got tours of the building, some sort of classes, seminars. We got tickets to the shows. Everyone was so lovely. And then we compete Monday morning and it's the same setup as usual, but you're at the Met stage. To clarify.
I just got chills. I love it.
Me too. It's unreal. But it's the same format. You sing an aria. They select an aria. You sing your second. They go through all the singers. They take about an hour. And then they make the announcement. So you're waiting backstage and you find out when everybody else does. It's very thrilling.
Wow. And so then finally we reach the finals, which I think it's broadcast live, isn't it?
It is over the radio.
Over the radio. So people could hear you. You could say, hey, I'm going to be one of the finalists and tune in on Saturday at 1 o'clock for the Metropolitan Opera.
Yeah.
National Competition Awards. Oh, my goodness.
Which is amazing. And then that level as well is open to audience. So I was able to have friends. Lots of Pittsburgh people actually came out to support me, which is awesome. And what you win is this week at the Met. Mm-hmm. Like once you become a finalist, you're really a winner no matter what because you get to spend a week as a live-in artist at the Met. You get coachings with one of their directors, dramatic coachings. You're coaching with the director who is Evan Rogester from WNO. You get a Zitzprobe with the orchestra. I mean, it's just the way that they sort of like shepherd you through the week and you get this experience of what it would be like to be an artist at the Met. It was one of the coolest experiences of my life. I had such a fun time. It was such a reward for lots of years of work. Like that to me was the biggest prize was that experience because I just felt like I was flying.
And then one of the things you start usually with Mozart's Non mi dir from Don Giovanni, the amazing aria of Donna Anna, which it has everything from beautiful lyric lines to just, fabulous coloratura with the cabaletta type part of the piece.
Yes, I've been singing that. I sang that role at McGill 2 years ago, I guess, and I just fell in love with it. It just fit so well because of where it sits. But also for that reason, I've been starting with it for a long time because Yeah, because I feel like it just shows everything, and it has such emotional depth as well. It has the lyricism and the legato, but it has the coloratura, but also it has a little bit of that power and edge, you know, that a leading lady has. So anyway, I've been starting with it for a long time, and it's an aria also that reveals itself to you because of the sort of emotional complexity of it. So it's never feels stagnant. It feels very new every time.
It's always moving. It's like the countess making her decision. I'm going to make sure that I win, and it's going to, and Non Mi Dir to me is the same sort of way. But then you have this beautiful, you did the Charpentier, the Depuis le Jour from Louise.
Yes, which is another, and I've been singing that even longer. And then I have Non Mi Dir, and it has probably been one of my favorite arias since the first time I heard it. I became completely obsessed with it and in love with it, and it just is a piece that I just think it's larger than life. I just love to sing it, and I hope that that showed. I was really thrilled that they pick it, because the way that our repertoire is picked is next morning after the semifinals, starting 9:30 a.m., you sing through your other arias and you have a conversation with the conductor and the team about what would be the best selection. And they were all very all in on Depuis le Jour and Non Mi Dir, which was just great, because I just can't think of anything I wanted to sing on that stage more and represent myself as an artist with more.
Oh, that is perfect. And then this was the first year they actually had the posters for the competition. So outside of the building, I believe.
I think that they have before, where they do. I think they always do, where you get that. But it was my first poster.
It was your first poster.
It still is a first.
The first of many, I do believe.
I hope so. So that was, I got lots of pictures of that. It's pretty surreal.
Wonderful. And your beautiful dress, gowns, you have to travel with the gowns and everything.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, again, part of the princess treatment that we get at the Met that week, they do fittings for us. They do our hair and makeup. I mean, they just really treated us so well and were so warm and kind, not to mention the other singers and artists that I worked with and the coach and pianist who played for me. It was just kind of this magical, surreal experience. And, you know, singing is so rewarding, but it's also hard. But this week
Very
was
hard
just
work.
All reward. And mm-hmm. that was the best part, truly.
And then after this, after you leave us here in Pittsburgh, you're going to the Ryan Opera Center at the Lyric Opera of Chicago, and you made a Seattle Symphony debut. That was last December,
that was this,
though.
Just, what, this past December.
With Maestro Walker and the Messiah, right?
Yes, it was amazing. It was my Messiah debut, which is a totally crazy Messiah debut to have done. And it was just in another just gorgeous hall, amazing orchestra. I've loved collaborating with Anthony Walker these past 2 years. I've learned a lot from him, especially in Handel, because Ariodante, which I sang here last year, was my first Handel role. Mm-hmm. And so to get to do that with him, he's such a leader in that repertoire, and Messiah, I just like, it's just fun. You know, you see how fun and alive this music can be. And that's just, it was really awesome.
Well, Emily Richter, we are going to follow you. You are a 2024 Grand Finals winner of the Metropolitan Opera Eric and Dominique Lafont competition. You received the Birgit Nielsen Award, which is just stunning. And we will continue to follow your wonderful career. And I'm so glad that you're here as an artist here in Pittsburgh. We are so lucky.
Thank you so much. I'm the lucky one. Thank you to Pittsburgh, truly.
Emily Richter, you can follow her at her website, emilyrichter.com. And of course, we'll keep you in touch with what is continuing to happen with her. Great pictures on the website and a great, great soprano. We will see her a lot, I am sure. Thanks, Emily.
Thank you so much.